I was talking to a friend recently who lives in Europe, and the whites who live in Europe are very much firmly implanted on the ground. In fact, whenever whites go anywhere, regardless of where they go, they literally put on roots almost like a tree. Whites actually even stay in the same area for centuries. And I've heard from friends, and I've read about various studies where they can even match the DNA of people as they've lived in the same area sometimes for not just hundreds of years, but even thousands of years. It's amazing. I tell you, whites literally are like trees. So the whites in Europe have the viewpoint, well, Europe is ours, or Sweden is ours, or Denmark is ours, or Bulgaria is ours, and that's where we live. Nobody else belongs here. And they forget that there are whites who've left Europe and have gone on to conquer and live elsewhere. And that also is a natural part of the way we are. We go, we conquer, and then we also put on roots, even here in Africa. And they forget that their forefathers did not always live in those countries where they are now, that their forefathers also came from the Caucasus Mountains, came from what is now southern Russia. And even then, whites spread in different directions. Some went to Europe, some went to Persia, some went to India. Whites have lived in Central Asia. So not only do we stay in one place, but we can uproot and go and create new places, and then we stay there. And wherever we go, we have this thing that some people go and explore and find new places, others stay where they are. And once we've got a place, we like to stick around and look after it. We are very much a blood and soil people. And these days, liberals and Jews like to say Africa is for the blacks, that all of Africa belongs to the blacks, all of Asia for the Asians. Of course, at the same time, the lying scum, two-faced, backstabbing pieces of shit that they are, they also let non-whites into Europe and America because apparently Europe and America is for everybody. So you can get everybody coming to Europe and America. So that is unsettling the whites in the Northern Hemisphere. And it's unsettling them because they're being colonized or reverse colonized. In the case of Britain, Britain is being colonized by the people that they used to colonize. So Pakistanis and Nigerians are colonizing Britain. So whites are understandably being highly irritated by this extreme hypocrisy and the fact that their countries can be invaded. But whites also live under some misconceptions. The misconception being that there are things like international law, that you can apply legal systems to the world, and that the same legal principles that work inside a country can work outside a country. We are used to laws that are known for their fairness, that are based on facts, and so on. And we think that these things apply outside countries. And when leaders need to go and make some excuse to go and attack some country or to engage in some war, they come up with a whole bunch of reasons as to why it is right. So you will find that all leaders come up with a bunch of reasons about why what they are doing is right and they have to go and kill some people because it's the right thing to do. And this kind of propaganda from politicians, including white politicians across the Western world, is so well done that people are fooled for the most part by this kind of stuff. They think that, yes, yes, we had to do this because it's the right thing to do. When I was a teenager, I had a good history teacher. Sadly, this same man later committed suicide here in South Africa. But he was my history teacher in Rhodesia. And he used to tell us, when we were studying European history, he used to say to us that when kings and various leaders needed to do something, or let me put it this way, they wanted to do something, they saw something that they realized they wanted for their country, then they went and invented an appropriate excuse, or they found an appropriate excuse. And then they said, oh, well, you see, I didn't really want to attack that place, but I had to because of this and this reason. And I never forgot what my history teacher taught me when he always spoke about leaders looking for or needing excuses in order to do something. And then they say, well, you see, we had to do this, it's the right thing, and we had to do it because of whatever bogus reason. And there you go. The problem is that in more modern times, especially since the time of Roosevelt, who was surrounded by Jews and communists, FDR, that FDR and others were working towards some kind of legal system in the world, where the world would be run on some sort of legal basis. However, the reality is that these things are applied as and when it suits them, and it's not really the way the world actually works. And even they break their own rules. So people are so used to thinking about laws as being fair and laws as being honest, and the reason one country goes to war against another is based on something genuine, that they don't realize how many times in history our leaders have lied or come up with some bogus reasons in order to do what they need to do. Perhaps it is just part of life in order to hide your hostile intentions for conquest. Perhaps it's something that's old and has always been done this way. I haven't dug into history enough to be able to form an opinion on this. But what I want to get to is I want to get to the issue that territory and the places where people stay, even though some people have lived in the same places for tens of thousands of years, like our European brethren, the fact of the matter is that if you dig into the deep, long, long history of the world, and even the history of whites, you'll find that white people have migrated, conquered, settled in places, sometimes later been driven out, or they interbred with the people and disappeared. But in one way or another, whites have not been totally stuck in one place. We also have been mobile. And they found mummies of whites in China. Whites probably created ancient Egypt. It's probable that we created every single civilization or every single major civilization that ever existed in history. It's very possible that this is what we did. So if that is the case, then we've been a mobile people. Then we've lived not only in Europe, but in Babylon, in Egypt, in India, in China, and very possibly maybe even made it across the oceans to North America and even South America. These things are very possible, and I'll return to some of these topics later. But what I wanted to do was I wanted to explain to you how nations are actually formed and how we actually get to a point where we agree that this piece of territory belongs to this group of people. Because despite all this bogus talk about international law, the reality is actually quite different. So let me try and explain it in a way that will show you how weird it really is. Consider, for example, you have a place with houses, street with a whole bunch of empty houses, and these houses represent open territory. And we are used to the fact that if you want a house, you'd have to go and buy it from someone or build it yourself or whatever. But let me explain to you how this would work if these were people settling territory and it was for a country. Let us take a step back then and say, in this street, imagine there are no houses there. There are just these empty plots. And somebody wanders into one of these empty plots and he builds himself a house and he lives in the house. And then somebody else wanders into an empty plot next to him and builds a house and so on, until the entire street is filled with houses that everybody has built. And that would be the way that the original nations of the world were formed, that people went to empty areas and they started building. However, those countries that were formed originally did not stay that way. In fact, if you check the map of the world and how many countries and empires have come and gone over even 1,000 years, it's incredibly shocking. The way and the pace at which countries have changed borders is astounding. I think in modern times they are attempting to prevent it from changing, but my own suspicion is that it's aimed at preventing the expansion of whites. That's my own theory, that they don't want whites to colonize and move beyond their territories. But we must, if we are to be true to history. History is about change. So let's return to those houses. They were occupied, people came to those empty areas, they built a house, they live in the house. So if this is history rolling forward, what would happen? Would everybody just stay in that house? Would ownership never change? Well, the reality is, in history, the ownership changes a lot. And the way that it does is it works like this. Assume that the owner of one house, or some people who live in one house, decide that they like the house next door and they decide that they want to get that house. So some of the people exit from the one house and maybe they climb in through the windows of the neighboring house and they find the owner asleep in bed and they murder him. And then they stay in the house. And that would be how the house changes hands. That is the way that the world really works. Now suppose that some of the neighbors next to that house where the owner's been murdered, they don't like this. They don't like these new expansionist neighbors who came and murdered the owner. So they set off to get that house back or to restore it to somebody who had owned it previously. And they might go banging on the door and kicking in the door and having a fight with the people who murdered the previous occupant. And if the murderers manage to beat up those who are trying to break into the house and chase them away, then the house remains theirs. Suppose now the neighbor who was beaten up goes to another neighbor and he says to that neighbor, "Help me, we got to get these people out. They seized this house and, you know, I don't like them. I want to restore it to somebody else, or let's share it between the two of us." And the other one says, yeah, that's a good idea. I'll help you. I like the idea. We can share that house. So they now get together. They get some of their buddies. They go to that house and they maybe kill some of the people and chase out the others who had murdered the original owner. And now they own the house and they agree that they're going to share it as theirs. And those who'd been kicked out, they decide they want to get it back. And they come back and they try and shoot and kick and beat these others out. And they fail to do so. And after a whole bunch of fighting, they find that they just can't dislodge these two guys who decided that they will take the house and share it between them. And when they eventually give up on trying to beat them and they find that they're just way too tough, then they leave them alone. And that, my friends, is how countries change ownership. It depends on who manages to grab hold of a piece of territory and hang on to that territory. And you'll find that that is how history works. And if you can defend your territory and keep it for long enough, then eventually everybody else says, yeah, that's your territory. They go by whoever manages to occupy it and defend it. So if you had to think about those houses, if we had to use that system with houses, you can see that it would be completely criminal. That this process has got absolutely nothing legal about it. The first guy who conquered the house is the guy who murdered the owner. And as long as he was able to defend it, he could keep it until another gang came and chased him out. It really is a case of possession is 9/10 of the law. That there is no such thing as legal stuff when it comes to international matters. It depends who is able to seize something by force and keep it by force. So to use the proper term, it is really a case of possession is 9/10 of the law. If you can grab a chunk of territory and fight off everybody who tries to take it away from you, then eventually everybody says it's yours. And if you do this over a long enough period of time, this is how countries are created. This is how borders change. This is how the world has been for tens of thousands of years. And every one of these countries that has come into existence, go and look at how they came into existence. All these countries and nations that now say, oh, well, you know, we abide by the law and we believe in the rule of law and international law. Go and look at how that country was formed itself, whether it's Britain or America or Russia or anybody.